In the beginning of the third Aliyah of Parshas Bo, we find Vayikra Paro el Moshe. Paro calls out to Moshe, and it's a little bit of a question how he's able to do this, because he is trapped in the Choshech, in the darkness. It's not clear how he's able to maneuver and to call Moshe. He can't send him a text message. So the Malbim, among others, explains that Moshe showed up here on his own, and therefore that's why the language is El and not Le, because it's not that Moshe was able to be summoned directly by Paro, but Moshe knew to come to Paro. We find here that Paro continues to refuse to let them go, and he sends away Moshe, and he says that Hishamar lecha al tosef ra'os panai ki v'yom ra'oscha fonai tamus. Be careful, you're not going to see me again, because if you do, you're going to die. And Moshe responds that, in a sense, you're right. Kein dibarta la'osif od ra'os panach, you're right, I'm not going to see you again. So as far as that part, he's right. How does Moshe know that is a good question. And the Litzker Rav, the Znayim LaTorah, has an interesting interpretation where he notes that the Gemara Mesachus Erchin, Hadaf Tazayin, has different opinions as to how far one is supposed to go in terms of trying to reprove someone, to give someone mussar. And here we find that these makos specifically were for the goal of trying to evoke a response of a change from the mitzrim. And we find that the Gemara in the three opinions are that one should try to issue this mussar either ad nazifa, until the person excommunicates you, sends you away, ad klala, until they curse you, or ad haka, until they would hit you. So now we've found that all these three reactions have been evoked from Paro. He sent them away, that's nazifa, and he said to them language that could be interpreted as a curse, and now he says you're going to die, that's essentially a type of hitting. So therefore he's evoked all these three reactions, he's gone as far as he can with the tochacha, and therefore he knows there's no point in him being involved with him any further, and indeed, Paro is right on that level, that he's not going to see him again. And here we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the commandment to Moshe that he should tell the Jewish people, Daber na bazne ha'am, should say, please tell the people, v'yish'olu ish me'es re'ehu, v'yish'ah me'es rusa, klichas klichasef v'chleizav. They should borrow all of these kalim of gold and of silver. And here, this is a fascinating concept. So what exactly is the nature of this acquisition, that they're taking the property from the mitzvim? So the Sifrayin Re'eh sounds like this is a type of hanaka. It is the parting payment that is given to Avadim. While the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Tzadi Aleph Mud Aleph, it sounds more like it is the schar for their work itself. So one way or another, it seems to be something that is coming to them. Nonetheless, the Gemara has a fascinating comment, which Rashi quotes here, that the purpose of this is Shlo Yomer Oset Tzadik, that Avraham Avinu shouldn't say that there was a partial fulfillment of the Nevuah, that the idea that they should be enslaved, V'avadum V'inu Osam, that that's going to happen to them, but V'achreichein Yetzu V'ruchosh Gadol, that they're going to leave with great property, that's not going to happen to them. So it's a very surprising statement, because being that this was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's commitment, and it seems like it's coming to them for reasons of fairness anyway, this seems to be a very strange reason to focus on, that we're concerned what Avraham Avinu is going to say. So there are various explanations. Many address this. Among them, Rebekah Kamenetsky suggests that it's because the time of the Gullus was shortened, so therefore maybe there would be a reason to think that this part of the prophecy also shouldn't be fulfilled. So the explanation is that it's specifically because of concerns regarding Avraham Avinu, the Lev Avraham, understands that the emphasis here is specifically on Avram's taking on a different midah when he's representing the Jewish people and representing the Tzibur. So here he's advocating on their behalf to the extent of getting everything that they deserve. So he's speaking in a way that he wouldn't speak on his own behalf, and that's what Chazal are bringing out. There are others who explain that it's possible that the Jews indeed would not have wanted to take this property, even if it was coming to them, and that's why there had to be an emphasis on Avram's role here. The Oznayim LaTorah has a comment where he writes that once upon a time he wouldn't have understood this, but now he does understand this, because after World War II, there were some Jews who wanted to get reparations from the Germans because of what they went through. And there were others who very much did not and didn't want to create the impression that the Germans were going to be excused or going to be off the hook for what they did because of the payment. And presumably, he writes, this was probably also the case here as well, that when the Jews left their state of slavery, so maybe there were some who would be happy to leave with a lot of property. There were probably those also who resisted and who said they don't want it to look like they are being bought off, like the Mitzrayim are able to excuse themselves for all of the mistreatment, and they would have refused to take. And therefore, specifically because of the Havtacha to Avraham Avinu, there was a need to make sure that this actually happened. The Marsha had a similar comment where he suggests that maybe the Jews would have been mochel on this property so as not to delay their exit. But one way or another, we see that all of these interpretations emphasize the importance of this particular part of the promise and that it take place, and that that is a message specifically to Avraham Avinu. So this is something that was discussed at length by the Rosh Yeshiva of Keren Biavne, by Rav Goldwicht in the Asufas Marachos, and he notes the symbolism, really, of what's going on here, that the entire Shibud was for a purpose of having some kind of a lasting effect on the Jewish people, that they should leave as spiritually changed people, and that this is similar to what we find with Geirus as well, that the idea that the Jews are spread among the nations of the world and that they acquire certain positive aspects from them for their own spirituality, and that they come away with that, and they come away with Geirim who contribute positive things. So the message of the Shibud also was supposed to be that they would leave with something positive, and the physical property is really symbolic of that. So therefore, the emphasis here is that Avraham Avinu should appreciate that there is a point to this whole experience, and it's not simply that they left their state of Shibud and that that's over, but that there is some remaining positive effect as symbolized by this property, and that Avraham should understand that indeed the Nevuah in its totality is taking place. The question has been raised, though, by the Ran and the Or HaChaim and others, that it's surprising that if the Jews are meant to come away with this property, so why can't they do so in a straightforward way? And we find that in general, Chazal have a insistence that when there is money coming to you and somebody else is holding on to it, so it's crucial that you acquire it in a straightforward way. And the Gemara says that even if somebody has your property in their house, you shouldn't break into the house and take it and act like a ganav. You shouldn't do things in a sneaky fashion. So the idea that that's what's happening here, that they're acting as if they're borrowing it, and really this is their way of taking hold of it, so that seems to be surprising in light of these concerns. And the Ran and the Or HaChaim discuss this, and among their suggestions is that this was a part of the plan that the Mitzrim had to be lured to run after them into the sea, and that that was a part of the retribution that had to happen to them. And this is also on some level Mida K'neged Mida, because the Jews were lured into the Shibud under false pretenses. At first they were told that this was going to be labor that was not so intensive and that was going to be acceptable to them, and only once they were brought in, then they were enslaved, and therefore as a proportional Mida K'neged Mida punishment, they also had to be lured into this situation where they end up chasing after them into the sea. And it reflects the idea, once again, that it's necessary sometimes to deal with people who are sneaky in a fashion that is parallel to what they are doing, because it's necessary in order to thwart their intentions, and that they should be able to pay the proper price and to be proportionally punished for the way they engaged in this deceptive technique of luring the Jews into slavery. Therefore, they had to be punished in a parallel fashion. The last pasuk of the Aliyah ends, Vayitain Hashem eschein ha'am be'enei Mitzrayim, gam ha'ish Moshe gadlum ol be'eretz Mitzrayim be'enei abdei Faro ve'enei ha'am. So here we find that Moshe gets a big boost. He is given great esteem in the eyes of the people of Egypt. And this is referred to as chein, which normally is a language for extra grace, which isn't necessarily earned. But here, the Oznayim B'Torah emphasizes that the point of that kind of phrasing is to show that even though one would think that here this man has just been yelled at by Paro and thrown out by Paro, that the nation who is ruled by Paro would disdain him and would disrespect him. But the involvement of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in supporting him and rescuing his nation is such a powerful force that this is something that draws the respect of even those people on the other side, and this is a tremendous forebearer of what is to come.